Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.
Amen.
When you hear the words, "Peace be with you," or perhaps, "Be at peace," what comes to mind? Absence of conflict, absence of drama, absence of fear, worry, stress, quietness, tranquility, rest. Peace be with you. It sounds like a wonderful sense of well-being, one for which we all long, one that too often feels elusive in our daily lives. Today's gospel is not just a resurrection story. It is a story about God's promised gift of peace. This scripture passage is read every year on the first Sunday after Easter. These words are a reminder that the Easter story we celebrated last week with much ado can shape the daily life we face the rest of the year. Like Jesus' first followers, those of us who want to somehow be changed by the Easter story cannot linger at the empty tomb. We must return to our homes, back to the chores, back to our jobs, back to the news, back to filing income taxes, back to life as usual. Life that takes an intuitive leap to see the connection between what we do here in worship and how we live out there the rest of our lives. Today's reading asks us to think about just how we can come to believe that the risen Christ is in our midst today, and that Christ continues to offer this ultimate gift of peace. And we know the story. It is the evening of what we call Easter Sunday, the evening after the empty tomb had been discovered. The disciples are gathered together in a house with the doors locked because they feared that the authorities would somehow blame them for the missing body. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was back. After a few talked about sightings at the empty tomb and along the road to Emmaus, here he was standing right in front of them. Now, perhaps the even more amazing thing is that the first thing he does is to offer them complete forgiveness. He who had every right to be angry at those who had deserted him didn't say to them, "How could you? I hope you feel ashamed of yourselves." But instead, "Peace be with you." His very first act was to heal them with those words. Before doing anything else, he restored their broken connection with him, not because of any merit on their part, but because being in relationship, in communion with them, was the most important gift he he could offer. And only then did he make them partners in the task of restoring the world to the life that God had intended. After breaking down the feared gates of death, proving once and for all that there is more to our lives than what we see, Jesus offers words of healing, words of hope, words that promise that the peace that he knows from being in complete union with God is ours for the taking as well. With that gift comes the key to attain that peace, that wholeness, that complete sense of utter trust in God's power among us. As he breathed the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God into them, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This gift of God's peace, which passes all understanding, is ours. If we are willing to accept the power of God's love that comes with it. And therein lies the problem. How willing are we to use the power of reconciliation so that the gift of God's peace can be truly known? How willing are we to hear that our relationships with each other can open or close our relationship with God? There really is only one reason for any of us to ever forgive. We forgive because being in relationship is more important than being right. And our only real motivation to forgive is to remember what it is like to be forgiven, truly forgiven ourselves. Forgiveness is at the heart of Christianity. The very message of Christ is forgiveness. The truth is, the God who has given us everything and gotten precious little in return would rather forgive us everything and keep the doors open than to ever walk away from us. The act of reconciliation is the whole meaning behind Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Through no merit of our own, but simply because we are loved, our sins have been forgiven. We are only asked to learn from our mistakes, to keep growing into who God knows we can be, and then to share this gift of reconciliation with others. The reality is, we all too often tend to walk away from relationships that take more effort than they seem to be worth. We make excuses for someone's behavior and call that forgiveness, but it's not. We hide our feelings and refuse to talk directly to someone who has hurt us in order to avoid a confrontation and call that forgiveness. It is not. We learn how to say things that sound forgiving while our actions bear no resemblance to our words. We dismiss people from our lives by forgiving them and then have less and less to do with them until there finally is nothing left of the relationship. That's not forgiveness either. God does not expect us to deny our pains and our hurts. We have to find a way to create a safe place to allow our hurts to surface so that the pain can be acknowledged, so that we can understand the impact of our actions, and so that we can seek ways to resolve whatever it is that separates us from one another. Followers of Christ seeking peace can never walk away from one another, because if we do, we will never work through our hurt. We will never come to terms with what forgiveness is really about. The task of reconciliation is the pathway to peace. There are no shortcuts. Peace be with you. When someone like God has stopped keeping score on us, because being in relationship is more important than being right, then doesn't it make sense to offer that same gift to each other? Once we have let that sink in, once we have really taken that gift into our hearts, how can we possibly pass up a single chance to offer that gift to each other?